Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Yes, indeed, that's what it's about. To check your own consciousness, to check your own thoughts, and ask if what you're thinking, what you're holding on to, who you're being on this planet is supporting you, supporting your soul's mission. I am back. I am grateful to be here, and before we go any further, we must honor the God, the divinity, the goddess, the truth that is in each and every one of us, so we know that we are free to express, express our greater yet to be. Carly Jackson.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
And in that freedom, you can find your peace. And we're ready to support you on your transformation journey by having conversations that moves you, that inspires you, that helps you find peace within yourself. Today, I have Bishop Carlton joining me. The topic, the theme is self-care, mental health, and emotional well-being. There's so much going on. The energy speeding up. Some people don't know how to handle it. But we're here to remind you that the peace you seek, the love you desire, is right where you are. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith. Om Shanti.
Let there be peace.
That's the simple truth. When there is peace in my mind, when there's peace in my heart, you can't help but experience peace in the world. So yes, it's okay to want, desire, vision for world peace. Yes, that's good. But you got to start with yourself. Let there be peace, but let it begin with me. Because the world you see out there is a projection of the world inside of you. Ricky Byers Beckwith, reminding us that we are one with the one, that we are the one. And when we recognize we are the one, we start looking for the right one for me. It's so nice to be back. Woo, I miss you. But I also had to take care of myself. But I really did miss you. I miss being here, sharing with you, growing with you, enjoying the soul food for our consciousness. And I am back. I am so grateful. I don't know what to do with myself. Just do what you do, boo. Just do what you do. Okay, I got it. All right, I know what to do with myself. Yeah, that was Ricky Byers Beckwith. Om Shanti. To find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, her virtual home is RickyByersBeckwith.com. No, actually, I think it's Ricky BB. But anyway, we can just let it be. WeLetItBe.com. How about that? WeLetItBe.com. Talk about taking a holy breath right here. That's what I'm going to do. Join me if you're led to take a holy breath with me. Let's just honor this moment, this time, this space, this moment where we truly recognize ourselves, where we recognize the oneness within us as us, on a conscious level. And from that place of oneness, from that place of gratitude, from that sacred space, I welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, change is inspired. And when that change is inspired inside of you, you can't help but make a difference outside of you. Start from within. It's an inside job. But we must find the balance not to get too caught up on focusing too much on the inside that we forget that we must extend the treasures and the gems that we find inside. We must give it to the rest of the world. We've got to come out of the cave eventually. So right now, while we're in the cave, while we're all being introspective and listening and feeling and hearing, letting go, planting and, well, planting consciousness, energy. Don't plant no seed now because some of them will grow. Some of them are kind of tough. But, you know, when you plant the seed of a higher vision in your contemplation, you get to see life differently. I want to welcome all of the listeners. Thank you all for being here. I am so, so, so grateful to have you be here today. Wherever you're listening from, those of you listening on archive, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And, of course, our Within Radio listeners. And we want to welcome our new listeners, too. There are people saying, when is your show? I want to listen. And I know some people might be listening today for the first time because they know that Bishop Carlton drops sacred medicine. And when his medicine touches your consciousness, you will never, ever, 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 ever be the same again. You may still try and do the same thing you've done before, but something in you say, no, you're more than that. Be more inclusive. Stop being judgmental. Embrace yourself. Stop being so critical, because the one you criticize is really an extension of you. And in truth, the criticism and the judgment is simply it's coming. Wait for it. There you go. It's a reflection of your consciousness. I knew I was going to get to it. I was just ahead of it a little bit. Every judgment, every criticism, every blame is simply a reflection of your consciousness. Oh, talk about self-responsibility. Talk about self-care. That's what the conversation is about today. There's so much going on. Self-care. We got to learn to take care of ourselves. We got to learn to pull back, to slow down. And then sometimes we need to step it up. We need to learn to embrace, love our mental health. It's not about being crazy. It's all about balance on the mental level, emotionally, spiritually, physically. In your, if any part of your body, that's right, you got the emotional body, you got a mental body, you got a physical body, you got a spiritual body, if any of it's out of balance, all of you feels it. Bishop Carlton will be joining us in about 15 minutes. And it is so nice to see you all. It's time to bring on Celeste. I welcome all of you. Yes, Tia's in the house, Electra's in the house, silent listeners, disguised guests. Tanya, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. Those of you we don't recognize, those of you who are listening through Facebook or wherever you're listening from, thank you all for being here. And indeed, I am wishing you the happiest new year of your life. I am wishing you the very best in 2014. I am wishing, I am knowing for you, I am declaring that even when you go through challenges, painful experiences, that you have cultivated enough love, enough compassion, enough understanding to support yourself as you move and grow through it. Life is simple. And sometimes that's why it's complicated. Chew on that. Let me go to my wonderful co-producer who is running around making tea and getting paper ready and pulling all this stuff, running around and trying to be ready when I get come to her and just drive her the microphone. Hello, Celeste. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Life Coach today, and wonderful family of Life Conversations Radio Network. I've missed you. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I miss being here. It's just been, you know, but anyway, we're back, right?
Yeah, we're back. Did you have a wonderful vacation?
I did. And it was good. It was a good time to refresh, to rejuvenate, and think about how I want to create my next life in this year and the things that have been, like, nagging that I know need, they're calling for my attention, and I'm saying, hold on, let me press this news button. So I just kind of organized, and so I'm refreshed, and changes are happening, even on the show.
And the matrix to those has changes been reloaded. That's right.
And you know, getting to those changes, applying those changes has been a little bit challenging, but we're here. We are practicing what we teach. How was your time off?
It was great. It was stretching, and I learned a lot. I slept a lot, and I learned how to wake up.
I know that's right.
Just like that church, you know, when like two people get together at church, and they like they know each other so well. You just go together. Oh, there's an ocean of stories underneath that, but we are great. And happy Three Kings Day to you, dear good friend, for our Latino brothers and sisters who know how to stretch our Christmas. Work it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the Three Kings Day for those who don't know.
Wow, isn't that funny? What I understand about it, you know, the story about the three wise men, it celebrates their time. I'm hoping when Bishop comes on, he'll hear me and go, "Well, Celeste, back in such and such a year." But anyway, it's really celebrating.
Is that your interpretation of Bishop Carlson's voice? I don't think that was it.
well, Celeste, you know, this world, the word is made up from this and that and that, and there's this number. You you thought you knew numbers. But anyway, it's really to celebrate the three wise men, the three kings who came and gave presents to little baby Jesus. If, you know, we're down for the story of baby Jesus' birthday being December 25th, I'm not trying to go there with you guys. Let's just keep the magic going, okay? No. And then 12 days after Christmas, there's a celebration of Three Kings Day. And I only discovered it because there was this one lone tree in my complex, 2012. And I'm so grateful that I didn't have the attitude of, y'all lazy. You're supposed to take your tree down before New Year's. But I would have been wrong had I had that thought. And I'm so grateful that I didn't, because I learned that day that they kept their tree up to January 6th to celebrate Three Kings Day. And they're still getting presents.
Thank you very much for that.
I'm here for you.
Yes. You know, it's really interesting. Today, you know, we're talking about the, self-care, mental health, and emotional well-being, which, you know, there's so much going on. And even with holidays, holy days, rituals, we have different ways of being about it. But for me, it's important for us to understand that whatever people want to celebrate, celebrate them celebrating it. And if you can't celebrate them celebrating whatever they're celebrating, just go about celebrating what you need to celebrate in your life, because when you do that, that is self-care. That is taking care of yourself, because, you know, we got to really, what's her name, the lady who wrote My Stroke of Insight, Jill Bolte Taylor, and she talks about, she has a saying, be responsible for the energy you bring into the room. And the room is the room of our consciousness. The room is where we are. We all have to be responsible for the energy we're bringing on this room called Earth. And so, you know, thank you for that information. And just honoring the sacred part of life. There are many ways to celebrate this thing called life. So, let's see. Anything else
powerful,
you need to do? Anything you need to say?
No, I'm just ready to, just welcome you back. 2014 is going to rock for all of us in the family. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy to have my friend back on the air. As much as I talk to you, I still need to be coached by the Life Coach a Day from 12 to 2, Monday through Wednesday. And I'm done now. See, I have a task. So I'm going to go do that.
Yes, you Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. All right, talk to you later. Yes, life is good. It's getting better. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Haday Radio Show. And I'm just realizing that I didn't tell you who I am. But you know who I am. You know who I be. You know who I'm is. I am. That's who I am. That's right. The I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, as Ade Anifowoshe, as Ademola Anifowoshe, as the Soul Whisperer. So I am all that God is, and so are you. And, let me just give you some quick updates here. We're going to be taking a break in about 9 minutes, and then after the break, we're going to have Bishop Carlton join us, and who's making his way to the studio right now. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, feel free to call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, yes, I did say doubts, especially for new listeners. If you have any doubts, if you have any worries, if you have disagreements, bring it, 347-426-3346. Why? Because this is the House of Love. And we have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. And the great thing about love is it allows you to be who you are and bring it all. And it just looks at you in the most compassionate way and say, oh, my child, come closer. Let me embrace you. It's going to be fine. It's going to be perfect. They say love is blind. Love is not blind. Love is wide awake. Love sees all things. Love is never blind. See, love knows that the human distractions and the little pettiness, it doesn't matter. So love sees through your stuff and sees beyond your stuff. So don't you ever, ever, ever get caught up in talking about love is blind. What? you are blind for not knowing what love is, told me, good job. Thank you for letting them know that. Because love ain't blind. Love ain't blind. You know, when you get to a point when you can embrace people, regardless of how they're showing up, doesn't mean you accept foolishness, but you can accept foolishness, but you don't have to engage in it. So when I say accept foolishness, you kind of recognize, oh, they're having a moment right there. Let me step away. Let me let them have their moment. That's what love does. Sometimes we hold people hostage because of what they did in the past. It's time to set ourselves free. It's time to be different. It's time to embody the awakening. That's the theme for the month of January. We're embodying the awakening. It's about pressing the application key. Today's theme is self-care, mental health, emotional well-being. And before we continue the conversation, I want to know, did any of you hear about the ministers who committed suicide? There was one, I think, was it Macon, Georgia? And then another pastor in Florida. That's what I meant to say. And that's what triggered this conversation that we're having today. You know, how do we create space for caregivers? How do we create space for leaders, for pastors, for spiritual teachers, for counselors, for social workers? Those of you who are out there doing the work, how do you create this space for yourself to take care of yourself, to self-nurture? Bishop Carlton wrote a beautiful article, and I'm going to pull that up in a minute, but we'll find it. actually, Celeste is going to find it. She's looking for it. And he said something about, I like when he said, even mechanics, their car breaks down. You know, something that a doctor, even they get ill. So it's like we put so much pressure on ourselves and put so much pressure on those who are out there who represent the best in humanity or who are reminding us of what's great about us. But it's time to create a space for us all to self-nurture, to take care of ourselves, and allow people to be vulnerable. I mean, I understand it, but there's still a part of me is, how can you create a space to support people and their healing and their traumatic experience, but there isn't a space for you? It's kind of backward, I think. But that's why we have Bishop here, and he's going to take it. I love him. I just, you know, you guys know. He has a way of taking an idea, concept that you sure you understand, and he will take it to a whole new level. By the time you finish, you'd be like, damn, Bishop, you're off the chain. And all he does, he just goes, hey, hey, hey. It's almost time to take a break. I think it's time to take a break. And we bring up Bishop. I think that's, you know, I'm getting used to this new format, so bear with me. And I'm communicating with Celeste as well. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. So it's a good time to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And I'm laughing at myself here because we're talking about self-care and being gentle with oneself, right? And we've got this new format that I'm following. And I'm quite ready for it. But actually applying is a little bit of a challenge. Like, okay, you got to do things differently. I got things staring back at me. I'm like, all right, I get it. So it's okay, brother, man. They didn't even know it until you said it. But I needed to say it for me so I can be free. And it's all about being the change I want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in an email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of January is Embodying the Awakening. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the Play Experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Be sure to join me as well for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the sounds of soul with the Danny Feloce on 1-2 Radio. It's a musical show featuring music you can taste and music that will bring you back to who you really are. Get ready for some soul, R&B, pop, gospel, Brazilian rock, and much more every Saturday at its new time at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you on 12radio.com. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much, Celeste Morgan. Bishop Carlton is standing by, waiting to inspire us, stretch us, and expand us. Oh, my God, this is the perfect diet. It is soul food for your consciousness.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you all. I'm just going to give you a little bit, especially for those when I ever, for the people always asking me this question. Who is that song? Who sang the song? I like it. So I'm going to play a little bit of this, and it actually goes with conversation today, self-care, mental health, and emotional well-being. Because when you remember, when you know that everything must change, then you can dance and grow and move with the change. So I'll give you about a few minutes of that. So, you know, and then when we come back, after the, well, not after the song, we'll play a little bit of it, and then Bishop Carlton will be joining us.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty, nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. That's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are no.
Yes, we all change. I'm gonna step all over this. If you want a copy, you know where to go. Well, go download an MP3. Go get the whole CD. If you wanted to hear all of it, too bad. No, actually, if you want to hear all of it, go to bishoppearson.com. Not too bad. What's wrong with you, man? Get yourself together. What's wrong with you? Bishop Carlton Pearson, everything must change. And when we stop holding on, we allow for balance. Sometimes you got to hold on. Sometimes you got to let go. Sometimes you got to hold on and let go. All right, yes, 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 it's about that time. He's in the house waiting patiently. He was going to make it right into the studio here, but he said, oh, I'll just call in. I'm going to read a little bit about Bishop. Bishop Carlton Pearson is blazing the new trail of spiritual leadership on a global scale. And you know him, you've heard about him. If you don't know about him, just type, before you finish typing his name, Google will like, what? You Googling Bishop Carlton Pearson? What's wrong with you? You don't know about him? But anyway, here it is. With the summer 2006 release of his book, The Gospel of Inclusion, Bishop Pearson is quickly becoming known as a voice of reason in the world of religious extremes, actually, and even so much more, you know, and even in the spiritual world as well. I won't limit it to the religious world. And then his the next book was God is Not a Christian. Ooh, not a Jew, Muslim, Hindu. God dwells with us, in us, around us, as us. He facilitates a global fire chart on YouTube called Streaming Consciousness. And there's so much more I can say about him, and we're all waiting patiently. So I just tell you, go to bishoppearson.com to find out more, to find out what he's up to. He's always busy. He's always downloading the spiritual truth. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my brother, my friend, myself, Bishop Carlton Pearson. Hello, Bishop. How are you doing?
Hello, Coach. I'm great. How are you? You sound wonderful as always.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're not
wishing
just good,
you
you're
the happiest new year. Say that again.
I said you're not just good, you're great.
That's right. That's right. And I'm integrating it all so I can experience my own greatness. How's your new year going? It's only been 6 days.
Very, very, very good. Very, very good so far. It's just going to – this is 2014. 14 is the intensification of 7 twice. So 7 is the number in biblical numerology of rest and completion and a different kind of resolve, sort of resting from your labor and with the works following you. In other words, the toil is going to be diminished this year, but the task will be intensified. So you'll feel the task without the toil. There'll not be the sweating because 7 is relaxing. It's actually the number of the perfection of divinity, the number of divine perfection. So there's going to be a maturity in your divine essence. It's going to express itself more articulately with greater accentuation, with greater articulation in this year. And I'm seizing that. So I'm going to relax and relinquish and allow an organic evolution of my soul and myself, of my dreams, of my visions, in a way that I will accomplish things without being rubbed raw, which means the oil or anointing for purpose will be intensified. I'll be so oily and so slippery in the Holy Ghost.
You'll be slipping and sliding all over the place.
And
the thing that we must remember, even with that divine maturing, we're going to have to let go of some stuff. Some things have to be stripped away from us if we're holding on too tight.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You've got to relinquish things. And if you don't, it'll be snatched or taken from us and leave tears and flares. If you relinquish it, to change really means to make something different. But when you alter, you just move something slightly in order to achieve a desired fit, or at least an appearance or the result of something. So sometimes there's radical change needed. Sometimes there's just a slight adjustment, and we have to determine based on where we are in consciousness what needs to be done to fit the time that we live in or the season that we're going through. So just shifting around and moving to fit. Jesus is quoted to have said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." When the term "my yoke is easy" basically means it comes in your size. The particular responsibility or charge of your life comes in your size, or it could be one size fits all. It works. My burden is light. It wouldn't be a burden. It's just light. The invoice, the cost for services is light. It's affordable. I keep telling myself, I can afford this, I can fit this, I can make the necessary adjustments, and I'm going to do that with ease and with grease in 2014.
I hear you. Now, one of my favorite questions to ask my guests is, you know what it is, and this is a new year, this is a new moment, a new time, so I must ask you this question. We've felt your consciousness, we can feel where you're coming from, we can feel that you're pulling from a deep well, but I must ask you, who are you? Who is Bishop Carlton Pearson?
Well, that changes every day because I'm evolving, and it's like at this, I'm 60 years old, and I am becoming. I am being more than doing. And we're human beings more than human doings. So I like to say that I'm nowhere, which means now here. I just changed the spelling around. I'm now here. I am who I am and who I am becoming. And that's a mystery to me. And I love to embrace this mystery because I'm unfolding every day. And the man I used to be, or the person I used to be, I'm still that person, but evolved and expanded. Mm-hmm. So I've never been more interested or curious about me in my entire life. I've been curious about things, where I'm going, but not who I am. Suddenly, halfway through the first half of the century, of my century, of my 100 years, I'm like, okay, now who are you becoming? You know what you've done, you know what you can do, but do you know who you can become? And I have to say, I really don't know, and I don't want to be definite, Ade. I want to be infinite.
I know that's right. I'm going to use that, give you credit the first time, and after that, I'm going to wear it out. I don't want to be definite. I want to be infinite. That's what I'm talking about. That's the quote for the day.
Good.
Oh, wow. Now, today's conversation is about, you know, self-care, mental health, emotional well-being, and it was triggered by the stories of pastors who committed suicide. One was in Macon, Georgia. That's Reverend Teddy Parker Jr. in Macon, Georgia, and Pastor Isaac Hunter in Florida. And there are probably some other ministers we didn't hear about. But this happens on a day-to-day basis. But some people make it into the news. Well, we know about it globally, and some we never hear about them. But it just had me thinking about this whole thing about those of us who are teachers, caregivers, social workers, people who are counselors, the people who are friends who other people come to and just pour everything out. How do we create a space for caregivers to honor their own pain? And, of course, as always, you dropped a transformative bomb on Facebook and you wrote about that. And I love what you had to say, and one of the things that you said, which is what I was trying to say earlier, and let me scroll it down because Celeste, she hooked me up. You said here, dentists get cavities and mechanics cars break down, oncologists die of cancer, cardiologists have heart attack. But somehow when, especially ministers, spiritual teachers, it's almost like they're expected not to have any challenge in life. What are your thoughts about all of this?
Well, I heard somebody say, we were having a conversation, a preacher with Santita Jackson, Jesse Jackson's daughter, the other day on the Word Network. And your liability only occurs when you lie about your abilities. or lie to yourself about your abilities. Responsibility is your response to God's abilities at work within you. But when out of ego and sometimes testosterone, pride, you lie about your abilities and take on something that you shouldn't, that's not allotted for you, or take it on in a way that is not by the spirit, but by the flesh or the ego or the pride, or you're in this performance mode and you're busy doing and never becoming, it can eat you alive. There's this thing I mentioned in that article that I wrote about cognitive dissonance. And so many, particularly, so many fundamentalists, and even those who are not fundamentalists in the traditional Christian sense, but are fundamentalists even in New Thought, we lie about our abilities. We're supposed to have all the answers. So the cognitive dissonance is maybe talking consciousness, talking the science of mind, confessing these things, doing the secret, doing the laws of attraction, believing all of that, reading A Course in Miracles, and life. You have superior thoughts and have inferior experiences. So the cognitive dissonance is that's the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. We have these thoughts and these beliefs and these platitudes and these attitudes, and we preach them and teach them, but we're not experiencing them. And so the frustration is that you're believing and preaching something that doesn't actually manifest in your reality. It's like a healer. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says, physician, heal thyself.
Yes.
He's quoting Socrates or Plato or somebody. Physician, heal thyself. When the physician cannot heal itself, or the dentist wears dentures, all the teeth are gone. Maybe that's prior to I probably do be coming at that.
Now, what's visual?
Yes.
Okay.
It flashed in your mind, right?
Yes, well, yes it did.
I remember when Jerry Curls first came out, I'd get my head beat. And I went to this lady in Tulsa, and her hair looked like I don't know what. I mean, she had it sticking all up in a comb or pick in it. She looked terrible. She did great work, but she didn't look like great work. And I remember questioning, it's like going to a jewelry store and the guy selling you the jewelry is not wearing any. Hmm. Or his is cheap. And he's trying to sell you a diamond. A guy, you go to a shoe store and the guys would run over shoes and, you know, they're not polished or shined. That kind of thing. And there's many people, you know, I've been 45 years of licensed ministry, 42 literally ordained. And I've seen so many what I call sloppy agape. You love, but it's so sloppy and sluggish, or so many raggedy speakers or raggedy preachers. And consciously, they come across as wounded and broken and unhealed. So they didn't. Jesus made reference to in the scriptures of the woman touching just the hem of his garment and felt the virtue exit him. She didn't even touch his flesh. She didn't touch the H-I-M. She touched the H-E-M, just his garments. But she was so intense in her passion to be healed, he didn't give it. She took it from him in the midst of a crowd where everybody was sucking up his energy. But she crawled through the crowd because she was hemorrhaging. And she took from him. Now, what we in ministry or teachers are experiencing constantly, we stand on the platform with the spotlight on us, the voice being amplified through the system. All attention and focus is on us. We may have just had a horrible argument with our spouse, or one of our kids is in rebellion, or we are in debt, or we are bouncing checks. And we don't like where we live or how we live. Or I know people who are public successes but private failures. Nothing is working in their lives. I ask your audience, as I ask every audience on A, what's working for you? If you made a list of what's working for you and what's not working for you, which would be the longest list? What's working for you? What's not working for you? And then what's working on you? Or as you, and what do you perceive to be working against you? Life doesn't just happen to us. Life happens through us, and life happens as us.
Mm-hmm.
So taking in all these realities and balancing and harmonizing each ingredient with its purpose for being, and everything has a purpose for being there, even if it seems pitiful or painful. It has a purpose. When I encountered cancer about 12 years ago, I remember it was right when I started preaching the gospel of inclusion, and, you know, thousands of people that walked out of my church. Most of my friends or so-called friends had abandoned me. People distanced themselves from Carlson Pearson. I went from a hero to a zero, it seemed to me like within hours. But, you know, it was a period of weeks and months. And then this cancer invades my system, and I thought, either I can panic or I can yield to it and die, or I can befriend it. I can enter a business contractual relationship with it. And I actually did. I said, listen, let me talk to this issue. What are you here for? Let's talk about why you've come, because did I invite you or were you sent? But I want to know why you're here so we can, because I'm going to cooperate with you so you can teach me what I'm supposed to do, because you're not going to kill me. You're going to teach me what I'm supposed to learn from you and go. You're not going to be my enemy. I'm going to make you my compadre. We're going to correlate. What are you here for? And I started listening both to my body's response to this invasion, and I listened to the invader. I studied it to figure out what its nature was, what its purpose was, because my attitude toward me is, I'm God. I'm good. I can do this. Everything works together or in concert for a higher purpose. And for me, at that age, it wasn't that. I did say, Ade, God, if I'm sending millions, at my particular fundamentalist background, if I'm sending millions of people to hell with this message, here's your chance to take me out. I will not resist this or resent it. If you want to kill me, because if I'm so deluded, so crazy, so demon-possessed. That was my lingo in those days. If I'm so full of erroneous doctrine and I'm going to lead others to hell, and I was beginning to not believe in hell. Of course, I don't believe in a literal hell these days, but at that time, hell was part of my – it was an article of faith. Demons and devils were just as powerful and present as God because I invented them in consciousness, and then I invited them into my reality. So I had a conversation, and I decided that everything comes to teach me, not to impeach me. I decided how cancer would – how I would experience cancer. And, of course, I'm cancer-free today, but but that's because I realized that all things really do work together. So when you have a pain, you study the pain. What are you here for? Why is my back so tense? Jesus said lay the axe to the root. Where there's fruit, there's root. So what's the source, not just the symptom? What is the source of your pain? Many preachers and teachers are public figures, even doctors and dentists. You know, one of the highest suicide rate among professionals are psychiatrists.
Wow.
Followed
wow.
by them.
Wow.
Proportionally, there's a high suicide rate because the psychiatrist is supposed to know all the answers and tricks and trades of the mind.
Mm.
And when your mind fools you, and you're lying about your abilities. That's the lie.
You know, we've got about 5 minutes before we take a break, and I want to ask you this to kind of emphasize what you're talking about right here. I was led to a video of you, and it's like it was pulling me, and I didn't even know why. So I said, well, I'll watch it. Well, I looked at it. It was like 58 minutes. I'm like, oh, I've got so much things to do. But it took me 2 days to watch it, and I watched it, and it was called The Blast from the Past. You remember that video? Where you compiled all the words. I mean, that was so powerfully intense. And I know it was over many years. So I want to kind of bring that in this conversation because two questions I have around that. We've got about 4 minutes. I want to bring two questions to that. One, how did you deal with all that positive energy coming at you, because sometimes that could be overwhelming too. I mean, the things people were saying to you when you're during your Azusa conferences, different places, people were holding you up, seeing the best in you because it is true. But who were you able to go to and be able to balance all that energy that was coming at you without feeling like you have to live up to other people's expectation of you rather than, if you will, the expectation of the God as you?
Well, that was one of the most difficult times of my life. I never believed what people thought about me at that time because I knew that what I did was not who I am. And I knew early on that people celebrated what I did. None of them even knew who or cared who I was or am. So the performance, the pressure to perform well, so I fasted and prayed and sought God and perfected the presentation, but not the presenter. And I felt that they really knew the presenter and how painful my existence was based on the way I was raised and the way I believed about God and heaven and hell and duty and working out my salvation and, you know, being faithful unto death. And if you suffer with me, you reign with me. I had this whole victim consciousness. Every day of my life, I was in a performance mood. These expectations for me were high in every setting, whether it was Azusa, my church, my affiliation with Oral Roberts, his demands and expectations on the Board of Regents, ORU. I was a black man in a predominantly non-black environment trying to chart a course for myself and make a path for other people of ethnicity or color to come through. I was trying to keep my body and my emotions intact. I was single for a lot of that time. So, you know, you have those issues that a single person goes through, the loneliness or aloneness. So I was busy living on everybody's expectations to mine. My own were dwarfed. And so that's one of the reasons why I shifted on it. I was miserable. I was standing at Azusa in that arena with 10,000, sometimes 12,000 packed, and thousands turned away. Incredible music, incredible preaching and singing and sermons. And I'd be the only person there unhappy and unfulfilled.
Oh, wow.
I was blessed, but the people were being blessed. But I was being stressed. Mm. I was looking, thinking, why? It's like going to your favorite restaurant, ordering your favorite meal on the menu, and not enjoying it.
Mm.
And when I got bored with my own ministry, you talk about misery. And I was jet setting, flying all over the world, preaching the gospel, singing the gospel, thousands packing places, traffic jams to hear Carlton Pearson. Or really, I never really felt, Audie, that they were coming to hear me. They were coming to see me. It was a performance. And I understand that part of it. I'm not devaluing it or depreciating it. But I felt these people don't really, they don't know or care who I am. They know or care what I do. So the expectation.
How did you find your balance? Who were you able to reach out to help you balance what people saw in you and what you were working through, which sometimes could really be considered creative self-doubt? You know, it's like, oh, because, I mean, I knew you before the transition. I wasn't listening to you regularly, and it had nothing to do with that. It's just I wasn't listening to religious programs. But there were times I heard you sing and thinking, wow, that brother can sing. So, and I think I really feel that there's truth to what they say, because we're seeing it. We see it. Those of us are looking at you even now. We see, when I look back at that video, it's like, yep, they were speaking the truth, but there was something in you that was still dealing with that and trying to balance what they're seeing about you and you, if you will, finding yourself. Who was able to help you balance that so that you can stand and still be here today having this conversation?
I always have... around me, somebody like you, a person who was my teacher, even if it was my road manager or my best friend. In those days, Carmel was my club. I always had somebody that I could be me with, that I could stop doing, and I could feel comfortable being, because I knew what I did was good. I was good at doing. But I was awkward at being, because I hadn't given myself permission to be. I had to die. I had this whole mentality that you must die, and if you suffer with me, you reign with me. Take up your cross, deny yourself. So I was denying another one. That when I took deny yourself to mean disown yourself, deny who you really are, and don't be that. Be who they and or God expect you to be, and the people of God and God became the same thing for me. Religion, church, pulpits, preaching, preachers, if you will. And I was dwarfing. My ministry was dwarfing the minister. I was shrinking. And I didn't know, first I didn't know that I was, and then I didn't know why I was. But I did have people around me that I could bounce loneliness off with, and I said,
yes.
How am I going to deal with this constant presence of aloneness? How can I make it my friend? How can I make it my compadre, my companion, and not my enemy? How can I not be intimidated by the fact that silence can be so noisy? Okay, what is the noise then? So I started studying the noise of silence. And there is a voice. There is a sound. The word noise comes from the word nausea in the original English, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other side of the noise or the nausea is a sound. That Greek word for sound is akos, English echo. And an echo is a sound out of the past. You talk about a blast from the past. When I hear the sound out of the past, I'm hearing the original breath or idea that spawned and sponsored my existence on this planet or on this plane of consciousness or in this plan. Scripture says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's will prevails. The Lord's purposes prevail. What are the plans of your heart? When I say heart, I'm not just saying your center, but your centered self. Your focused self, that which you not only focus but feature in your being, it becomes pregnant and prominent. Who is that? I started focusing on the echo of the agreement I made in some pre-incarnate reality to come to this planet. Now, that that's a complex adulation and a complex complex evolution, because I had to study what all that meant, what all those words mean, you know. So I talked about numbers yesterday in church and how numbers and figures and symbols, because we're always trying to figure it out, aren't they? That's what your ministry is, helping people figure it out. That's what your calling is. You help us as a life coach. You help people put the figures together. And when I talk about numerology and numbers and names, because there's energy and vibrations in numbers and signals and figures, and so we have to study the cadence, or sometimes the decadence, the decay, the death of certain parts of your being, and not see it as something negative, because you know when the leaves fall off the trees in fall, and the trees, I was looking out at Chicago the other day when I left, and actually here since I've been here in Georgia, I had to go to Mobile the other day, so we were driving, D.E. Park and I was looking at how many trees, there's lots of evergreens here, they were pretty, the evergreens made the seasonal vegetation not quite as ugly, but there was the contrast. And I adjusted my perception, you know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I changed my perception about what have been ugly and said, you know what, right now in the winter, I'm putting on more clothes. Vegetation takes them off. They look exposed, but they survive. They survive the seasons of their existence, the seasons of their nature, and how they nurture themselves from the soil when it's time for them to shed. And actually, when the leaves change colors, they're actually dying. Death, right. Even death is beautiful. You know how many people drive up to see the fall foliage? Death is beautiful in its season.
Yes.
There is a season when things die or die down or die off. If Job asks the question, if a man dies, a person dies or dies off or dies back or dies down, can he or she live again? If a ministry dies or a business dies or a particular plan dies, can it resurrect? And, of course, the question is yes, but not as it was. When Jesus came out from the resurrection, according to the document that we call the Bible, he wasn't even recognizable by his closest associates. He didn't look the same. Resurrection looks different. The reason we miss our resurrected self is because we think it's going to look like the one that died.
I
am becoming. I'm different. You talk about how you viewed me, Ade. I look different than I did in my soul. Today, in this resurrection, this re-experience of myself, and I'm okay with it.
Yes,
but people will encounter me and not recognize me because I don't look like the one they killed.
Right. No, that's right. And I must say, and for those who can't see what you look like in your soul, you've had some hairstyles. You've got some afro. I'm like, whoa, Bishop, you were really rocking some afros back then.
My afro ran my batteries in the day.
Those were your antennas. That's what it was.
That's good.
We're going to take a break. And then we're going to continue the conversation. Oh, wow. You know, when Bishop is in the house, you just got to pour yourself some tea, some water, or whatever else you drink. Hey, be responsible for your own actions, you know, and just take it all in. And if you're drinking something that you know you shouldn't be drinking, his words would just knock those things out of your hands like, oh, my God, it just dropped. And then you go, I didn't need to be drinking that anyway. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guest is Bishop Carlton Pearson, a beautiful soul, a brother, a man who doesn't mind sharing his story, who has just check him out. The vulnerability helps us feel safe in our own vulnerability. I love what Bishop said about, you know, it's important to have people that we can be ourselves with. Someone you can trust. Someone where you know, you can just tell it as it is for you. Bear that in mind as you move through life, especially those of you who are in the field, the industry, the business of caregiving.
And yes, the adulation is good, but boy, if inside, I'm going to quote Reverend here. He, Bishop Pearson said, "You may have superior thoughts, but having inferior experiences." Ooh, let the church say, "I know that's right." So it's time to balance the superior thoughts and inferior, well, actually balance it so that you can raise your consciousness and have different experiences. It's time for, we want to tell you what's coming up in the next few days, tomorrow and Wednesday. Let's bring on Celeste, and we're going to take a commercial break and come back and continue the conversation with Bishop Carlton Pearson. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And one more thing, Celeste, give me 1 minute, 1 second or two or three. If you have any questions for Bishop Carlton, you can post it on the like pages, the fan page, Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page or the Life Conversations Radio page. Post it on there, and we'll get to it. Celeste, tell us what's happening.
I am so happy to tell you what's happening, but I also have to let you and Bishop know that what an inspiring conversation that you're having. It's why we love having him in the house. My mind is blown, and I'm not the only one. Chat room is full, so are the phone lines. We all say, thank you. I can feel that collectively. Whew, so if you want to continue having inspiring, conscious, shifting conversations, make sure you stay with us on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Because tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo. You can set your intentions and make your New Year resolutions. But he's going to help you not to forget to press the apply button. Life Coach Today will be discussing sacred truths for simple living. And on Wednesday, our powerful panel of men are coming back to continue the conversation of men expressing their emotional selves. We're going to go deeper this time with the wonderful Kazembe Abena, a certified Reiki master, energy worker, empath, and channeler, Ashende Amon, an urban mystic, soul-filled artist, and spiritual activist. Let's not forget the dad man, Joe Kelly, who is known for writing inspiring books about fathering. And last but not least, Gregory Woods, Don Wolf, keeper of stories, is a musician, writer, social activist. Join us this week for conversations that will enlighten you and inspire you to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information about sponsorship, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Yes, indeed. There is no separation, because we are one. We are interconnected. We are related. We are all in an expression. We are all pressed out, express, external, out, pressed. You were pushed out from the same stuff that everyone was created from. No matter what they look like, no matter how they're showing up, no matter what they did, you know that's true. Think of your family members. Ooh, they get on your last. And you're connected with them. There's nothing you can do about it. So understand it, recognize it, and do your work. There's no point having superior thoughts and experiencing having inferior experience. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show, and we're getting ready to go back with to Bishop Celeste. Can you hear me? I don't know why we're still on screen. Is Bishop ready? The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for questions, comments, thoughts, and everything else. And trying to get it together here. I don't know what's going on. Well, let's see. Okay. Let me bring on Celeste because I don't know what's going on. Yeah, we were having some interference with Bishop. So, Celeste, Bishop is calling me back from another number? Okay.
Well, Bishop is on the line with me right now, and we are working it out, magic of radio.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, I'll let you do your thing. All right, cool. I just want to make sure. And I didn't want people saying, man, stop talking. Bring up the bishop. So I try. Okay, so let's go back and work it out. Let me know when you're ready. yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. With today's topic, today's theme is self-care, mental health, and emotional well-being. You know, Bishop posed a question to you earlier and said, what is working for you and what isn't working? What is it about you that you are so scared you don't want people to find out? You're so scared that if people find out about this thing that you're doing, you lose your friend, you lose your credibility, whatever it is. Anything that you're doing like that, it's time to find somebody else to have that conversation with, to tell them, listen, I'm holding on to this, I'm afraid of that, I really need a space to unload. Sometimes all that's needed is for you to express. Because whatever you hold on to holds on to you. Create a space that you may, you know, get your mental health in balance. Take care of your emotions. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And Bishop is not ready yet, but as soon as he's ready, we'll bring him back. So in the meantime, I just want to share this with you. It's those of us that it's not really my story, but we're one. So I say us. But those of you who were part of how it used to be going to, maybe you were religious at one point or went to church or mosque or a place where your parents took you to, even though you as a child or as you grew up as a teenager, you hated it because your consciousness, your spirit did not align with what was happening. And then somehow you're introduced to this new way of thinking, this new way of being, new thought, metaphysics, and, okay, metaphysics and everything else. You know, sometimes, well, actually not sometimes, we bring that mindset. We bring our belief system. And so this spiritual truth could be like, yes, I found my Jesus. I am one with the Christ consciousness. And I'm not like those people. But the truth is we must do the work to purge our belief system and understand that everything we went through was part of the process. Everything you went through was part of the process. And let's see, we're trying to get Bishop, let's see. Okay, you know what, actually, I don't know if I can do that. Let's see, just bear with us here. First day back, and we're having a great experience. We're living out loud and understanding that life happens, and when it happens, you roll with it. You roll with it because life is always, always perfect, even if my interpretation of it is imperfect. So even now, all is well. We got time. We're just changing some things around. We got time. And this may be a good time for you if you want to share your thoughts, if you have questions for Bishop. 347-426-3346. 347-426. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Let's do that. Celeste is talking to me an instant message. So, all right. I don't know if we're ready yet. Let me unmute Celeste. Okay, Celeste, are we ready?
We're ready to go.
Okay, because you had the screen thing on, so I wasn't quite sure what's going on. Okay, all right. Ooh, what a wonderful demonstration of what we are talking about. Okay. Bishop, welcome back.
Well, we made that slight adjustment. Yes, thank you.
That's right.
That was really freaky because the number I gave you wasn't supposed to be the right number, but somehow it was. So,
oh, wow.
All
thank
things
God
work
for
together.
God. That's what I got.
Indeed. And it speaks to, you know, it really speaks to what we're going through, because there are times in life where we feel like things are not going as we planned, or, you know, maybe as a counselor, you're dealing with a client who is sharing this news with you, and you don't even know if you're qualified enough to deal with it, or you don't, I mean, it's like in that moment, there's that space where you're thinking, oh, my God, what do I do now? But it's very, very important, as you shared earlier about when you were experiencing cancer, to just, first of all, bring yourself back to your center and then being able to tune in. And what I want to do now, because time is doing what time does, it moves, I want to talk about mental health. And what I really want to hear your thoughts about that, because there are many ways of talking about mental health. And usually when we hear about it in the news media, it's usually when someone is bipolar or someone walked into a school and shoot somebody. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we got to talk about mental health. We got to bring it to the Congress. But they talk about it as if mental health is a disease, but it's not. But I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, being out of balance is normal to our bodies. Chiropractic care, holistic approaches, diet, attitude, sleep, exercise, all of these are mental health. Or you are a patient of your soul, and the patients need health care. But it takes patience to be a patient, and treating the delicacy of the soul as a patient that needs constant attendance. The word heal, most prominently used in the New Testament, references where Jesus used it, is the word therapeuo, not the word iomai, which means to cure. It is the word therapeuo, where we get the English word therapy. The base word is therapon, which means janitor or custodian or attendant. Every day, you know, I don't know what cure really is. I do know what therapy is. And we are group therapists. You right now, your audience, you're listening every day as you coach, you are doing group therapy. You're attending to the menial needs and the daily needs of an audience, human beings trying to be healed. I've said many times that life, for most people, is a sexually transmitted disease or dis-ease. Your mom and them were intimate, even if they weren't married, and you came to this planet with tension or dis-ease. Not easy, but tension, and we're trying to – and this dis-ease – is incurable, but it's not untreatable. It's also terminal, because we all go through the transition we call death. But it's not untreatable. So we are always in treatment. We are always a physician. We who are in teaching and leadership, we are always a physician who's healing itself. So the ongoing therapy, that's why we have these weekly church services or gatherings or assemblies and our community meets, and we commune with each other and we heal each other as we're healing ourselves. We share thoughts, share ideas. This is real. What your program is, Ade, it is a healing program. It is therapeutic and chiropractic, because we're laying hands on the hearts and hurts and hopes of the people. And when we stand in front of them as a teacher or a lecturer or whatever, we're reaching out emotionally and spiritually and actually psychically, touching the hopes and hurts and hearts of our listeners. And the only ones who care to listen to us are those who care about themselves, because we're not really teaching. We're reminding people of what they already know and happen to have forgotten. Everybody is dealing with amnesia, and only in those moments of amnesia, when we forget our essence or our isness, we panic. Only when we forget that we agreed to come here. What we do is try to encourage people to embrace the process. You know, this series of actions or steps that we take in order to achieve a particular end. We are trying to get somewhere and go somewhere or be something or arrive at some essence that we hadn't the day before, or that we were and lost and want to return to. So we're constantly healing. So when we see our lives and ourselves as in therapy, that doesn't mean you're ill. That means you are maintaining yourself. just like we eat every day and rest every day, and we should exercise every day, and we shower and wash our bodies, and we, even though we have a great meal and maybe three good ones or six or eight, you know, if you're doing it the way that you should eat a few meals every hour, the next day you're going to need that meal again. You're going to need another shower. You're going to need personal hygiene. You're going to brush your teeth again. And then you need to sleep again that night or take some cat naps during the day. So we are constantly dealing with the treatment of the diseased soul or the diseased self or the disease of being. But yet you can't see disease as a negative thing. It is the tensions that create attention and then intentions. The reason the tensions come so they can get your attention, so you can then become more intentional about how you live, how you think, what you speak, what you believe about yourself, how you experience yourself, how you express yourself, how you expose yourself. So that's unending. That doesn't mean you're sick. It means you're alive. You're alert without
Indeed.
Being alarmed.
Yes, I know that's right. Okay, I got a question here for you, and I want to tie it in with similar to a question I want to ask you. And the question is, what would Bishop say to people who are answering the call to serve in their lives? And I want to tie that with a question that I have is the people who are struggling with their lives, people who feel like they hear the call of their soul, they're not quite sure which direction to go, but there's this struggle. And there's some who are really, they're clear, but then I don't want to be a leader. Well, I don't want to be responsible for all of that. What would you say to people who are stepping up, listening to the sound of their soul?
Well, service can happen without surrender. When you cease to resist, cease resistance to a perceived enemy or opponent and submit to the authority of your life or the authorized or authentic, and all those words have to do with original. When you surrender or cease to resist, your authentic self and your authentic reason for being, you've entered into the most lubricated consciousness that there is. The road of least resistance, and that surrendering to your essence, not somebody else's ideologies, but to your essence, your immediate, immortal, immeasurable, immutable self, the part of you that does not change but does evolve. And I find out the less I resist or resent, contest or protest. The easier it is for me to be in my flow. Many people, we do it unconsciously or subconsciously. There's always this resistance. You're always fighting something or suspicioning something or contesting. I don't like the way that is. I don't like the way I am. I'm contesting here. I'm protesting this. I'm resisting and I'm resenting this. And we don't do that. We don't realize that we're doing that very actively, deliberately as well as unconsciously. So you change your intentions. And then you change the tension, and you refocus attention. That, to me, is how you self-medicate, how you self-meditate, how you deal with the awkwardness or the dis-ease of being in your human frame. And again, I always say we should always remember that we agreed to come here, that we entered a contract and a covenant to come here. And everything we are experiencing, we agreed to that. But in our amnesia, that experience can feel or seem more destructive than it was intended to be. And that's what we're at. So
yes,
to stay
yes.
in tune with yourself and to stay in tone with yourself. When we say, you know, when we say I am, or we say amen, or we say om, We are invoking and we are inviting. These are invocations and incantations and mantras that, you know, I talked about figures and signals and symbols. Those things carry vibrations and intonations. And so when we surrender, saying amen is saying I am, is saying om. That's a transcendentally meditational expression and experience.
Yes. Yes.
But when we say, I love this statement by Albert Einstein. He says, everything is energy. Energy means force or vigor of expression. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. He goes on to say, this is not philosophy. This is physics. Phusis in Greek. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match, here's the important line, match the frequency, and frequency comes the word from the word frequent, the rate at which a vibration occurs. You know, it constitutes a kind of voice. Whatever you frequently say or see or think about yourself is the frequency to which you are tuned. And the vibrations that that frequency creates in your being can affect you chemically as well as. So match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. You might have to change the frequency. Change your frequent thoughts or words about yourself or beliefs about yourself. That's, again, therapeutic. That is attending to your evolving self. That is ministering and administering your evolving self.
You're listening to Bishop Carlton Pearson, who is just throwing medicine down our throat. Even before you can taste if it's bitter or sweet, there's another one. Bam, bam. I'm writing so fast that I can't even keep up. And, you know, that's what I love about you, because really it's, I always say that, you know, a true teacher, a true healer, it's less about what they're saying. That's important and it's impactful, but it's more about the energy that they're allowing. And you allow such a healing energy, and I so am thankful for who you are, and that you allow, even if we say, oh, I missed that. What did you say again? It's really, we got to surrender. You said that. I mean, I think that's one of the most important things, surrender. In surrendering in how we think we need to be or what it needs to look like, we allow more. We allow the energy to flow through. I got a question here for you. The question is, pastors didn't used to have reality shows. Is there more being asked of pastors and preachers? And what are your thoughts about the, what is it, Preachers from LA or whatever it is?
Well, I made a posted something about that. That is something to me, that particular show, even though it has a lot of negative response, it is one of the highest viewing audiences for a recent reality show. It is basically exposing the caricature that some ministries and ministers have become. And some of those guys, I know three of them personally. One of them I coached and trained in ministry in his earlier days. And they've sent word to me that maybe if I would come on and do a little quick something in the new season. That word has come to me indirectly. But I think it is showing the world the healing.
Are you going to say yes to that? Because I hear people say, no, don't do
no,
it. I am.
No.
Well,
I am. It depends on what somebody wants to confront me on my beliefs, and I say yes to that because I blow your tail out of the water.
go, I'm with you on that.
Let me grab a, let me borrow a little ego for a minute. I wish you would try to tell me what I'm thinking. So,
I wish they would bring you on. I wish they would.
Yeah, bring it on, please. But it shows what needs to be seen. Now, it's embarrassing, and it actually implicates all of us in ministry of that particular genre. People are now doubting about what they're giving to, questioning at least what they're giving to, and some of them are holding back their tithe and holding back their offerings because, you know, though we'd all like to drive the car we want to drive, live in the house we want to live in, and usually it's not the one we're driving or living in, that's very common. But for preachers who seem to preach that you should submit and surrender your income to them while they live, and you're struggling to do it, and they live in a high lifestyle, which many do, and I don't see anything wrong with that, but when you present it in a way that as if you owe it, as if the people owe it to you, and that you're misusing it or misappropriating it or not using wisdom even in exposing it, It takes attention away from the spiritual impartation that a minister should be making. And it appeals to the base nature of most human beings, which is an illusion of lack. When you see that, it reminds you that you don't have it. And so it sends the wrong signal, or at least a distasteful signal, to certain people at certain levels of consciousness, which most of the people who follow these big mega ministries live at a certain consciousness where they feel they need that particular brand or breed, and they want it to come to them only in a certain form. So when they say, well, wait a minute, are these guys living together outside of marriage and they're preaching marriage and commitment, or are these guys being intimate outside of marriage, or are these guys being too covetous or too greedy or too self-centered or too self-serving? Are their egos that large? Are they that human? We didn't give them permission to be that human because we all lust and fuss and cuss, but we don't want the preacher to. So the universe has said, Right. Okay, let me show you what's really there. I want y'all to see this. And you can determine your own evaluations of it. But that's what's really living in many of these people. Now, some people are not offended by it. Many are. Some say, good, I'd like to have a Lamborghini. I'd like to have a yacht. I'd like to have any woman I want when I want. No, they're not all saying that. But I'd like to have a little chemical attraction to another human being and give myself permission to enjoy it. These are things that live in all of us. There's nobody. Most people are not jealous of you. They want to be you. And it manifests itself as jealousy or covetousness. But really, these guys are showing, and some of the preachers who are most vociferously opposed to that expression really wish they had it. Put them in that same position and see would they turn the Lamborghini down. The only reason I would is because I'm not attracted to Lamborghinis. I personally, it's just not something that suits me. But there's a lot of people who would like a motorcycle or a nicer car to live in a nicer neighborhood. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But to showboat it in the way that it comes across on that particular program, which is exactly the way the producers want it to come across, because it creates conversation and debate and interest. It's like a tabloid gossip presentation of all the weaknesses of the ministry.
Yes, it is.
And everything that's wrong or weak in the ministry or minister, it somehow comes through on that program.
Right.
It relieves some people. And it irritates others, and sometimes
This next question actually ties into that. And before we take a call, we've got a caller. The question is, how might one really prepare for ministry? Because there are people who are learning about New Thought, they're learning about unity, they're learning about centers for spirituality, they're like science of mind. And somehow, because I know my journey, it's like, you know, I heard about Hillside International Truth Center. I was going to the service, and then I took the classes, and then I wanted more, and I was told the only next option was ministerial school. I'm like, I'm not trying to be a minister, but I end up going into the ministerial school because I was hungering for information, for the truth. And what that ended up doing is sometimes when we follow the hunger of our heart, we end up in a place that either we may have judged in the past or didn't even know we're going to get there. So how do people who are learning the truth about who they are, about life, about God, and they're feeling that, well, they may want to be, you know, they may want to be a minister of a unity church or, you know, want to be a truth practitioner, whatever it is, what would you suggest in their preparation for that? And then after that, we'll take a call from a listener.
Well, first of all, I would ask the person why. Why do you want to be in ministry? Is it effort, ego? Do you just want to be seen and heard? Do you find yourself worth in standing in a room where people listen to you and look at you for an hour and you get to perform? And I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but where's the virtue or valor in your pursuit? Ask yourself why first. And when you figure that out and you feel like your reasons for wanting to be in ministry are legitimately based in love and servanthood, The word minister is the Greek word diakonia or diakonate, which means deacon. And deacon is very much like thereupon, servant. You're actually going into a janitorial service. You are a custodian.
Yes. Yes. Say that again and explain, please. Woo, clean up the mess.
Well, you know, Jesus said the greatest among you is the servant. So I was talking to a preacher the other day. We talked about the difference in a title and a towel. Some people are more interested in the title when they really should be interested in the towel where you bend down and wash people's feet, not physically, but theoretically. And do you want to serve or do you want to be served? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. The servant is the greatest among you, which means the most expansive. It's not a term of quality. It's the term of gratitude and graciousness. If you are just interested in the title of Reverend so-and-so, and I noticed even in a lot of New Thought circles, people are so hooked on that title, Reverend, or practitioner, or minister, and there's nothing wrong with either of the terms, but the reasons why those terms are important to you or why they are significant to you, they are what you do. They're not always who you are. So working on why you want to do, I call it the three O's, orgasmic, organic, and then organizational response to the call. The orgasmic explosion of energy and passion in your soul that you should do a certain thing or become a certain thing, that's first. That's like an egg, an ovum in a woman being fertilized by a seed from a male. When that ovum or egg is fertilized, there is a natural organic response. The thing develops in the womb and sometimes in the wound, the hurt. It develops there. Then you organize, orgasmic, organic, organization. So I know a lot of people that start organizing for ministry when they've really not had a spiritual, an orgasmic, soulish, spiritual burst of knowing or hearing of the call of the summons of the soul. Because when that happens, something starts, you become pregnant with something. It's growing inside of you. Again, I talked about the frequency. You start frequently hearing and saying and seeing and feeling this thing that you just cannot. It's a call that becomes irresistible. You keep hearing the summons of the soul. It's a call that becomes irresistible. You cannot resist that tug, that pull of yourself into this consciousness of servanthood and love, not first for people, but for God, your God self. You start reinventing and re-inviting and re-invoking your essence. And out of that evolution and that invocation and incantation and invitation, there comes this knowing. And the thing starts growing in you. And really, it's like a sermon. I don't work on sermons. Sermons work on me. I don't work on songs.
I know that.
A song will work on me.
Yes.
You know? Yes. That's why I asked the question, what's working for you? What's working, what's not working for you? What's working on you? What's working as you? How are you showing up in the universe? Then, of course, you go to Bible school or you go to schools of thought or you can go to an ashram in India. You know, depends on what particular brand of ministry you want. Those are practical things that you do. You know, you read, you study, you listen. You evolve, you invite, you involve, and evolve. Involve is I-N, you know, the inner working. The volition of the, really, volution is a revolution, circling or cycling or a circulation. All that stuff works through your spirit, and then it works out. You express yourself. You press the self and soul out into the universe. And through that soul, soul expression, people encounter themselves at a different level.
Indeed.
I don't want people
Let's
to
take
walk
a call.
Away and say, well, okay.
Well, we're going to finish that thought and we'll take a call.
Well, I was going to say, I don't want people to say they enjoyed a sermon or a song or even a service. I want them to tell me they enjoyed themselves.
I know, that's right.
How they experience themselves, not the sermon, not the song, not the service, but how they experience themselves. That's when real, because people don't remember what you say, they remember how you make them feel.
Yes. Thank you for calling the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Like my name is Vonda Guzman from Germany.
Vonda.
Hi.
From Germany. What's up, Vonda?
Oh, I'm just so blessed by this show today from you and from Bishop and everybody's down your team there. Bishop, I really want to say thank you for all you have helped me and impressed upon me to remember about myself. It's been a beautiful journey with you, all of your live screenings, having you on my radio show, too. And I'm just so thankful that there is a Bishop Carlton Pearson right now here in the planet doing what Bishop Carlton Pearson is doing. And I want to say continue your great work, and I'm always a big supporter of yours, and I will continue to support you in every way. And I just want to bless you and your family for the new year. And I just know that you're here to really make a difference in the planet at this time. So somebody's got to do it. And so I want to say thank you.
You're precious. And you're powerful. Thank you for calling in, Ms. Guzman. Always good to hear your voice and feel
your
energy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Especially when you're singing.
Right, exactly. Life is beautiful. But I'm not going to do that right now. Let me stick to what I know. Let's take another quick call, and we're getting ready to release Bishop. You're tuned in to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
I'm Tristan. Hello. Yes, I'm Tristan Bellamy. I am the son of Vonda Guzman.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Go ahead.
The son?
Son.
Yes, I would just like to thank you. This is my mother. My mother has been telling me about you for a very long time, and today I finally got the opportunity to tune in and listen to you and experience you. And I wanted to say thank you so much. And I'll be coming back.
Oh, great, great. Welcome, sir. I've heard a lot about you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's me. I'm sure.
Your charm precedes you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you all have a wonderful new year. And I'll tune in next time, too.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Life is good. It's getting better. Bishop, anything you want to share with our listeners before you go, anything you're up to, whatever you need our listeners to know about you or whatever you're doing, this is whatever you want to share is all yours.
Well, check in on bishoppearson.com on Thursday nights for those of you who want to hear the live expression, and then you can always go to the archives. And we're building a global church without walls, so a real diverse spiritual community, and I want all those who are interested in seeing this movement become really an impact, globally impacting energy, to align yourselves with what we're trying to say and do. We've changed, by the way, our trip to Israel to 2015 rather than next fall, because that gives people more time, and we're excited about that, the first ever inclusion peace tour in Israel. I've got a lot of exciting things coming for them. I'll tell you later, Ade, that the movie Around Our Lives is about to come out, the one based on the This American Life interview with NPR. And the latest I heard was Jeffrey Wright is being chosen to play the part, and a lineup, I won't mention all the other celebrities who are pretty heavyweight names, are going to help us get our story out from what I hear from the writers. Jonathan Demme, who produced Philadelphia, Manchurian Man, Silence of the Lambs, is fascinated with the story. He is now the director-producer of the film. And they are casting now. They'll be shooting late spring, early summer, the last I heard. And I'm really excited because they do the whole story of the interview that I gave on American Life, This American Life, that got so many people interested in their own evolutions. They were going through the same, soulish conflicts as I was. And Jonathan says, I want to make this globally impacting. So I'm very thrilled about that. That process has already begun. Have high expectations of the self and soul and of your surrender. I say to all your audience, expect, which is speculate, view. Don't make it right, see it right. Because what you see is what you get.
Indeed. And I just want to thank you for being a living example that truly we can walk through the valley of shadow of death, fear no evil, and even if we do, we just have to keep walking, and then goodness and mercy will track us down, because that's the story of your life. You've been through it, and you're still here, and you're helping others believe in themselves. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And when you get back to Chicago, please give Michelle a big hug for us for everything she's doing, supporting you and supporting humanity. And, of course, your lovely wife. Thank you, Bishop Carlton.
Thank you, Adi. I love you so much. All your wonderful friends. Peace and blessing to all of you.
Peace and blessings.
Namaste.
Life is good. It's getting better. I am grateful. And, you know, we can do this. Your life is enough. You are enough. So whatever you're moving through, stop lying about your ability. I love that. Liability is lying about your ability. What are you lying about? It's time to tell the truth about who you are. It's time to tell the truth about your pain. It's time to tell the truth about who you really are. You are so much more than what you're going through and growing through. Say yes to life. Life wants to support you. Life wants to love you up. Because the truth is, life is for you, not against you. And it's certainly not a problem to solve. So stop trying to solve life. Life is for you. It's almost time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I encourage you just to do this for me, for you today. Be love. It is the essence of who you are. And for goodness sake, be true to yourself. And when you've done all of that, open yourself up wide open and be loved. Allow people to love you, to embrace you, to give to you. Allow yourself to receive. When you allow yourself to receive, you get to see who you are. And then you will know that you are truly, truly, truly a miracle. Wow, what a show. I'll be back tomorrow, flying solo. Sacred Truth for Simple Living. It's all about pushing the application keys. We have everything we need. This is Troy Horn. Miracles. You can find him at troyhorn.com. Peace and blessings. I love you. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern.
My life and the beauty love brings. When I think about my family, when I think about friends, suddenly everything is beautiful. So I think it all again. Every smile you share, every heart you heal, is leaving your mark on the planet. Saying you were here.
We are.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.